Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th, with 6 race events including the full and half marathons, marathon relay, 5K, and more. Register at DesMoinesMarathon.com.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Later in the hour, I'll talk with historian Tim Weingard. He has a new book out. It's called The Mosquito, A Human History of Our Deadliest Predator. That coming up in our second half hour. But first, starting next week, Thursday, August 15th at noon to be exact, legal sports wagering in Iowa will launch. The Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission recently approved the final rules for betting on professional, college, and fantasy sports contests. There will be both in-person betting, also mobile apps, a mobile app for wagers as well. Let's find out more about this new era in the state of legal sports betting with Wes Ehrike, president and CEO of the Iowa Gaming Association, and Jeff Lamberti, commissioner of the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission in our Des Moines studio. Jeff and Wes, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Thank you.
Wes, let me start out with you. Tell us, remind us, what is the change that's about to take place in a few days? How will it work?
Well, it's very historic, really, that this is coming about. Certainly after the Supreme Court ruled a year ago to allow states to opt in, the legislature went through a very transparent and thorough process to legalize sports wagering, to allow it to be both in a retail environment. Each of the casinos, or most of the casinos, by next week will have a on-site presence, as well as many of them will have their mobile apps available where you have to come in person to register, to prove you're 21, establish your account, and then you'll get a secure password-protected access through their web portal to be able to place a bet anywhere within the state. Geofenced is pretty important, and so that you can take your smartphone or your laptop and place a bet anywhere within the state. So very exciting opportunities and options. Not every casino will be ready on the 15th, but most of them will in some fashion. So it can be very exciting and very historic that now we have this legalized option and people no longer have to go to a bookmaker or to an illegal offshore internet site.
So you'll remind us, go into that a little bit more, Wes. Why is this change better for Iowa?
Well, certainly it puts a better spotlight on that to have it regulated. And, you're going to hear from Commissioner Lamberti, but we commend the iRacing Gaming Commission staff and the commissioners for what they have done to have a very thorough and deliberate process for the licensing of the casinos. Many, many moving parts of what they had to require to be able to do, to have approvals, and to set the necessary standards and guidelines and oversight and rules. Because of that, though, that gives the public a great amount of confidence and assurance that there's a high level of integrity. And that is going to be important as we go forward with this, that it'll be done in a high level of compliance and regulatory, which we are, as the casinos, are already used to doing.
If you'd like to join our conversation, ask our guests about this new era of legalized sports betting in Iowa, 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100. River to River at iowapublicradio.org is our email. Jeff Lamberti, Commissioner of the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission, talk a little bit about the main priorities you had in terms of regulation. What do you see as the highest priorities? What have you given most attention?
Well, from our perspective on the commission, it's actually pretty simple. It's what Wes talked about. That's the integrity of the gaming. So now that we're expanding this to sports betting, we want Iowans to know when they decide to place that bet that there's going to be a lot of integrity in that. And that's very similar to what we've done for years in the casinos with table games, slot machines, pari-mutuel wagering. So that's the overriding goal.
Now, let me jump in there. That word integrity, sort of explain that a little bit more.
Yeah.
As concerning to sports gambling, what does integrity mean?
Well, so integrity means that the games are fair and honest and based on, in this case, we have statistics and things like that we have to test. So, it's much like on a table game, that if you're sitting down at a table game, that it's fair and honest. There's no kind of shenanigans, and we haven't had those problems in Iowa. Mm-hmm. But that's our role, is to make sure if you choose to engage in this activity, you can have high assurance that it's an honest and fair game. That's our overriding principle. Now, lots of moving parts to make that happen, because we're going to have an on-site presence, but also this mobile fantasy sports, we're spending a lot of times on what we call controls. So you need to place those bets in Iowa. So the people who are running these games have to demonstrate to us that they have the technology that will prove that somebody's in the state of Iowa. We want to verify age. They have to self-report if there's any unusual betting activity. So there's lots of moving parts that go into that integrity piece, but that's really the heart and soul of what the commission does.
Mm-hmm. When we talk about being in Iowa, so we have these in-person betting and mobile apps in person, that's clear that they will be where in Iowa, Jeff Lamberti? Where may they be?
They can be anywhere in Iowa. If you set up the account for the mobile, you can place that bet anywhere in Iowa. And so it's referred to as geolocation and geofencing, and we've seen some demonstrations. But you have to have on your app that kind of technology that will prevent a bet from being placed if you're not physically present in the state of Iowa.
I take one step. Let's not be so drastic. One step. Let's say I'm 100 yards into Nebraska, toward Omaha. It's not going to work.
It's not going to work. In fact, we've seen demonstrations of that coming out of New Jersey where somebody was just on the other side of the border, and it will prevent that wager.
Mm-hmm. What are some, Jeff Lamberti, what are some of the other rules you've really fought for that you believe are very important to long-term health of sports betting in Iowa?
Well, a lot of them, quite frankly, are what I've already, talked about, but some of them are ensuring the safety and security of customer data, because obviously, just like anything in this world, right, it's all about data, so we want to make sure customer accounts are protected and that kind of stuff. Obviously, we've got some role to play with how the operators of sports betting are dealing with problem gambling. And we've been doing this in casinos for a long time. But certainly coming from the legislature, those kind of things are important as well. And, once this gets up and running, it's going to be subject to constant supervision to guarantee that all of those things are in place and that, we've got a lot of integrity. And we're going to test, for unusual activity, people trying to game the system. As we see in the casino world, even though we've got age restrictions and the ability for people to put themselves on a list to ban themselves, they still attempt to do these things and come in as underage and so forth. And that's not really a fault of any of the operators. It's just the human nature. So we'll monitor this once we get it up and running as well.
Mm-hmm. A number of other states, I think more than a dozen other states are in the category. Iowa will soon be in here. Are you learning from other states, Jeff Lamberti, about what kind of illegal operations, defiance of the rules to be watching for most, first and foremost?
We have, but quite frankly, there hasn't been a lot of that. What we've learned more, and this is be a credit to our staff, is when the Supreme Court came out with the ruling that actually opened this up, we didn't know if or when the Iowa legislature and governor were going to approve sports betting in Iowa. But we had some hunch it might be coming. So immediately we started communicating with the other states that were ahead of us so that we could learn what they had already been through. And, of course, there's a long history, obviously, in Las Vegas, in Nevada about this. So we were ready, I think, and I think the process has been remarkably smooth. Now, I'll say that with knocking on wood when we go live on the 15th. But we really feel like, yes, we learned a lot from other states. And there really hasn't been a lot. One of the things Wes mentioned this is there's sports betting's been around for a long time, and most of it's been on the black market. When you bring this into the light of day and regulate it, there's really not a lot of problems with people trying to game the system. Doing that, certainly, there's always going to be bad actors, and we'll be looking. But quite frankly, it's not our casino operators. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. A lot of preparation, obviously, into this. Wes Ehrlichy, even with the best of preparation, I imagine there will be something of a learning curve when we have this new system introduced. What are you looking to learn next week into the coming weeks? What do you have your eye on, and where adjustments might be made, or where you said, "Ooh, okay, let's do something a little different there."
I believe for some are already savvy with being able to place bets. Maybe they've done it illegally or they've done it through Las Vegas. But for many people, it's their first time. And I know the casinos will be doing a lot of informational awareness. Some are doing seminars. They'll have sheets on just what a point spread means and over-under, which are the most common bets. Mm-hmm. And so this will be on all professional as well as collegiate, as well as the Olympics, when the Olympics comes around, so what they can place bets on. And by doing this in August, by mid-August, you know, kind of rolling this out, baseball and maybe golf that they can place bets on, or even the early bets on maybe who's going to win the Super Bowl. You know, there's some of those already coming out. If you want to take the Chiefs or the, you know, the Vikings or whatever to win the whole thing, there you can have that kind of a bet. But football season's just around the corner, and that's one of the most popular areas for sports wagering. And to have things kind of ready, there, if there are glitches to work out, as there might be, they can get those kind of worked out in the next 2 or 3 weeks before we're into full throttle mode with both professional and collegiate sports. I would just say also, just to add that, you know, just to clarify, because I know I've been getting this question, you can bet on the in-state college teams. You just can't make a prop bet on an in-state college player or the team that they're playing with, whether it's home or away. But yes, you can bet on the Iowa State game. You can bet on Big Ten, Big 12, or even the Mac Valley for the collegiate teams this fall.
Mm-hmm. A lot of little things here to remember. Is there one place we can go if someone is listening right now and say, hey, that sounds like fun, good entertainment for me, but I've never done anything like this. How do I find a primer or the basics of how to go about it?
Well, I believe if you really go to that area casino, you're going to need to, you know, go there anyway to sign up if you're interested in the mobile. But you go to your nearest casino. They will have that tutorial available and have staff that will be really wanting to help you learn all the basics of it, if you will. And they're going to be very helpful in wanting to do that. And so that I would encourage people just to do that.
Okay, let's go to our phones. Stephen is with us in Iowa City. Hi, Stephen. Are you interested in sports betting?
Not especially. Right. Kind of curious to the fact that, you know, I grew up watching television. I'd see 1-800-BETS-OFF commercials come on, you know, constantly almost. And now it just seems like we're trying to make it even easier for people to gain access to more ways to lose your money. Mm-hmm. Just kind of curious to why we're making it so accessible. Why don't we just make it to where you have to go to a casino if you're going to do this? I understand that you have to go there, you know, in the first place to sign up with the mobile app. But once you have that mobile app, you can do it from your couch. Your kid could grab your phone and place the bet on your behalf. And it just seems to me like there's a big loophole there.
Okay. Wes Ericke, let's go to you. Perhaps Jeff Lamberti, you want to talk about this too, because I'm sure the points that Stephen mentioned were debated as this legislation went through the legislature, wasn't it?
Consumer protections and responsible gaming are very important, very inherent to what we do every day. And certainly the Racing Gaming Commission expects that. But especially, Stephen, for the mobile app portion of this, there are responsible gaming, a tab, if you will, that somebody can limit the amount of time they want to gamble, the amount of dollars that they can do, or even ask for a timeout, which I believe is maybe 3 days, maybe one day. I have to kind of look at that. But so the point is that there's some very good proactive consumer protection provisions in place. The amount of problem gambling is about 1-2%. Granted, for those people, that they need the help, and that's why we help fund the 800-BETS-OFF helpline. But over 98% of the people can go to a casino for the fun and entertainment it's intended to be, and we believe the same thing is going to be for sports wagering. We do have some very proactive initiatives in place that the IRGC is expecting.
Okay, you mentioned that 1-2% go to the addressing problem gamblers. The revenue, how is that split up? How much does the revenue is projected to be brought in, and where will it go?
To clarify that 1-2% of all of the wagering wagerers, people that bet, are experience a problem gambling. Mm-hmm. That's been historic. But as far as the revenue, it's about 95% of all the bets go back in between the bettors. That's called the handle. The remaining 5% is called the hold. And out of that needs to come all your operational expenses, taxes paid to the state and the federal level. So that's the kind of a quick division of that revenue. There is a portion that was passed in the bill for added dollars that go for the gambling treatment providers, just to the point that Stephen made, that if there is going to be issues, that they're going to have additional awareness and funding for that through the Iowa Gambling Treatment Program.
If you just joined us, Jeff Lamberti is with us, Commissioner of the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission, Wes Ericke, President and CEO of the Iowa Gaming Association. Also joining us for the last few minutes of this half hour, Adam Jacoby. He's co-owner of the Iowa sports blog, Go Iowa Awesome. Adam, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
You've been covering sports for quite a while as a writer and a fan base organizer. What does this new era mean to you?
Well, it's very interesting because sports betting has always occupied a different cultural landscape, especially for young men under the age of 35, than the different gaming options that have been available in casinos. And within the last few years, it has been an even greater part of the mainstream. So, you know, you turn on SportsCenter and the anchors are openly talking about, you know, the bad beats, the covers, I mean, they openly discuss sports gambling. And for somebody in the state of Iowa to engage in this legally, you basically have to go to Las Vegas to do it. And as it turns out, that's a lot of fun. And it's something that people in the state of Iowa, especially, you know, young men who are, let's say, having a bachelor party or having a guy's weekend, they all of a sudden don't have to fly out to Nevada. They have an option that's going to be here in town. So for them to be able to actually partake in this sports culture is a pretty dramatic shift and something that a lot of fans have expressed interest in.
You're characterizing this a lot, at least in your first comments there, as a sort of the male domain. What are the demographics? Is this mostly a men's thing to do?
Well, it's certainly been geared toward men primarily. If you watch advertisements for the daily fantasy sports that have traditionally been off limits for Iowans, but for some people in the U.S., the ads, especially during sports broadcasts, are geared toward men. Mm. And certainly, I don't think anybody involved in this is going to try to make this an exclusive environment. You know, the more people who participate, the better. But in terms of the way gambling has been advertised traditionally, it has been more toward men than women.
Mm-hmm. Wes Ericke, do you agree with that characterization in terms of sports betting?
Well, I believe, you know, sort of the demographics that, you know, he alluded to are, you know, probably in have been aimed at men. Certainly, I wouldn't disagree with that. And probably out in Las Vegas and like, you know, been in sports books. But I believe a lot of women will take an interest in this as well. You know, people enjoy watching sports and betting on sports and anecdotal conversations with people where now they're looking forward to having their mobile apps and being a part of that and take an interest in, like, even in tennis or golf or some of the other sports. And, you know, certainly a lot more women are football fans. So I believe that this is going to have an enhanced demographics in Iowa in the year and years to come.
Mm-hmm. Adam, weigh in on this at first. Maybe the others have views on this. How many Iowans are we talking about here will you think likely engage in sports betting? Are we talking thousands, tens of thousands? What do you think?
Well, we don't really have a whole lot of historical data to try to make an educated guess on that. The interesting thing is when the Register polled Iowans about this back in February, most of the respondents, I believe it was 52%, indicated that they were opposed to professional sports betting, and there was a larger percentage opposed to college. Now, that being said, that was prior to the passage of the bill. And this is a much less scientific poll, but when I asked my followers on social media about this, a large percentage of the Iowans who responded were looking forward to it. It was about 50% in favor, about 40% indifferent, and less than 10% were actually opposed to the bill. So mm-hmm. Now that it is legal and now that it's going to be an option and now that people are going to have situations where, let's say your friend says, hey, it's the first weekend of March Madness. let's go head out to Prairie Meadows and make a long weekend of it.
Right. We're running out of time. Yeah. Jeff and Wes, what are the metrics you'll be watching in particular? Do you have any better sense of how many will be participating, how this might grow?
Well, excuse me, from the commission standpoint, I don't think we really know, and that's one of the things we're very much interested in, both from a dollar standpoint, what's this really going to generate, and who's playing and where. And as we look to the future, we think there's a lot of potential for change because the technology is moving so quickly. You know, it's not just about betting on the outcome of a game. It's going to be what Wes talked about, these prop bets, these in-game bets. I think it's got a lot of potential. So as a commission, that's what we're going to be tracking. We're going to be tracking the dollars. We're going to be tracking the number of players.
Okay, so you have to have a range there. What's your low end of your range that you would say it's got to be at least this in terms of revenue, what we're seeing, and it could be as much as what? What is your range?
you know, I'm not sure I have a great range. I've seen from a tax standpoint, now understand the tax is fairly low, that it's as low as $1 million and as high as $5 or $6 million. I don't know what that would result in a handle, but that would be tens of millions of dollars in total dollars bet if we were going to be looking at it from a net tax revenue in that range.
Mm-hmm. Adam Jacoby, you have a minute or so left. What do you think when you write your sports blog? What do you think are in this upcoming sports season, the sports events people will most want to get in on?
Well, it could be a lot of things because we've discussed sports odds as a content generator for years now, long before it was legal in Iowa. I think people just want to actually experience it for themselves. I think there's going to be a lot of interest in the Iowa-Iowa State game, the way their seasons are going to set up. But, you know, once the games start, I think the experience is really going to tell the tale more than us guessing at this point.
Adam, will this change the way we report on games like the big Iowa-Iowa State game? Will that be part of the article?
Oh, certainly. Certainly, okay, because people are going to be interested.
Well, yeah, and what, the odds will be put out there beforehand or what?
Yeah, but that's always been the case. Even before it was legal here in the state of Iowa, you could find it in the Des Moines Register or your local paper.
Mm-hmm. So before we go, Wes Ehrke, perhaps to you, how does Iowa now compare as of next week? Will it compare to other states in this context? How many other states have legalized sports gambling?
We will be the 11th state to go live with this. A few others are going to be shortly behind us, Indiana and a few others. But the first in the Midwest. None of the states bordering us will have it at least for 6 months and beyond. So I think that really creates a great opportunity not only for Iowans but also for those in surrounding states to come in and place their wagers and establish their accounts. They still have to bet in Iowa, but I believe we're going to have a lot of people coming across the border as well.
All the border states, they can get their mobile app, cross the border, and do their legalized gambling. All right, on sports. Wes Ehrke of the Iowa Gaming Association, Jeff Lamberti of the Iowa, of the Commissioner of the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission, and Adam Jacoby of Iowa Sports Blog, Go Iowa Awesome. Thank you all three for coming into our studio today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th, with 6 race events including the full and half marathons, marathon relay, 5K, and more. Register at DesMoinesMarathon.com.